This is Cross Currents. I'm Julie Kane. Earlier this year, a fire consumed a mixed-use apartment building at the corner of 22nd and Mission Streets in San Francisco. More than 30 local businesses were destroyed, and 65 residents lost their homes. One man, Mauricio Orellana, lost his life. Investigators later found that two escape routes in the building were blocked, sprinklers were missing, and some tenants didn't have fire alarms in their units. More than 200 people have been displaced by fires in the Mission since 2012. These fires have left families without a place to stay, and with little affordable temporary housing in the city, finding a new place to live has been hard. KALW's Hannah Kingsley Ma followed one family on their quest for a new home.
Every night after the fire, families from the building gather to eat dinner together in the dining room of the Salvation Army at 1500 Valencia Street. They eat right below the church where they sleep, in small cots that stretch along the space in front of the altar. Renee Carcamo is one of the pastors of the Salvation Army, along with his wife, Angie. The two of them have run this makeshift shelter for a month while displaced residents wait for housing.
We had two birthdays.
We had two birthdays the first week.
And we had to celebrate it like nothing happened. Mm-hmm.
After peering into the gym where single men and women have been living, Angie Carcamo shows me the adjacent church where the families have stayed.
They have figured out that they have put blankets in the floor to be able to all the families sleep in one side together.
There's no washroom in the Salvation Army, so the Carcamos have been driving residents to their house in Pacifica to shower. But tonight, Renee and Angie are emotional.
Tomorrow, I think it's going to be the hardest.
Why tomorrow?
Because I know some of them, they have to probably, because they're leaving, and for this month, we've been there for them.
Yeah.
And the church is going to be quiet.
This is the last night that the Salvation Army Church will be home to many of the families, most of whom will be moving on to temporary housing. Milagros Rodriguez is one of the many residents who has moved to Treasure Island. Renee Carcamo helps translate.
I've been living here in the city for 15 years, so going to a different city is hard.
The experience is bittersweet. Though Rodriguez is glad to have her own space, leaving the Mission hasn't been easy.
She loves everything about it. Where she lived before, she had everything so close. And now that she's moving to Treasure Island, it's going to be hard to know that she's not in her neighborhood. She has to go and take the bus and go into the city and get what she needs.
And she'll miss her neighbors, like Ana Idalia Alas. Alas says the families became closer after the fire.
Y sí, hoy que lo llevamos bien, pero sentimos mal porque ya cada quien va a para sus diferentes lugares.
And we share meals together, we cook for one another, we took care of kids for one another, something that we didn't do in apartments before. But now it's sad that we're leaving and everyone's going on their own ways.
Alas lived in the building with her husband, Santos Ortiz, her 21-year-old son, Edwin, and her 5-year-old daughter, Ariana. After the fire, she tells me it's been hard to get Ariana to go back to school.
Pues muy difícil porque él no quiere ir a la escuela.
It's been really hard because now she doesn't want to go to school.
Solo quiere estar conmigo.
She just wants to be with me. Mm-hmm.
Alas didn't just lose her home. She also lost her job. She worked as a chef in a Salvadoran restaurant that was inside the building. It was one of 30 businesses that made up an enclosed market.
You could live in the building, work in the building, shop in the building, and you have multiple generations in the building at the same time.
That's Gabriel Medina. He's the policy manager at MEDA, the Mission Economic Development Agency. It's one of the nonprofits that's been working directly with the displaced families to help find them temporary housing. He is doing that through a 2011 San Francisco policy known as the Good Samaritan Ordinance.
The Good Samaritan policy was something that allows essentially a home or a landlord to extend their home out to people in crisis, in a disaster.
But finding available housing stock to meet the needs of displaced low-income residents wasn't easy.
The conversations that we heard was that this is the most difficult time the city's ever faced.
The struggle to find temporary, affordable housing is part of SF's greater housing crisis, a microcosm of the challenges that many priced-out residents of the Mission face every day.
This building, which has been there for over 100 years, is in a short flick of time, that displacement is just like the displacement that's been happening over the last 15 years.
The residents displaced by the fire do have the right to return to their apartment once the building is restored at the same rent they were paying. But in previous instances of disaster, many do not. That's because families settle far away and are never informed of that right in the first place. Businesses don't have that same right of return, which means they'll have an even harder time making it back to the Mission. So Meta is trying to buy the building to allow everyone to come back, residents and businesses. Renee Carcamo, the Salvation Army pastor, is driving Ana Alas and her family to their new home in Park Merced. It's the temporary housing they've been waiting for. We've just spent 4 hours in the leasing office trying to sort through the paperwork with Carcamo translating. While we were waiting, Alice's daughter, 5-year-old Ariana, drew a picture in my notebook of a house with 3 windows and a tree out front. Ana's husband, Santos Ortiz, points out a nearby playground to his daughter. They've never been to this part of the city before.
This might be the home.
The new home is a white townhouse near the edge of Lake Merced. Another family from their previous building is moving in too, next door. The father was injured in the fire.
What are people saying?
They used to live close to each other. They used to live together.
In the building.
And they're saying, look, they were living, close together again.
When we enter, Ana and her husband seem stunned, partly because it's a lot bigger than what they imagined, and partly because it's just so new. But Ariana, she's not fazed. She runs upstairs and claims her space triumphantly. Look at my room, she shouts, to her older brother, to her neighbors. This is my house, she says, to no one in particular, as if it's just starting to sink in.
Esta casa es mía.
She's excited, but she's clearly still haunted by the memory of the fire. We're standing by the staircase when she tells me, if you touch this, the fire engines will come. They will all come.
Mira, mira, si tocas eso, la fire engine viene.
La cosa. And then, do you want all the keys?
Viene todo.
For the unit?
Yeah. La fire.
She can't quite leave her memories of the Mission behind. And it's not just memories. The family can't leave the Mission either. Even though they've been given a home in Lake Merced, their whole life is still miles away. They'll still do their shopping in the Mission. Ariana's kindergarten is there, as is each one of their jobs and their friends and their neighbors. That means negotiating unknown bus routes, long ones, even a different climate. Standing in the white light of his new kitchen, I asked what Santos Ortiz thought of it all.
Viendo muy bonito. Pero yo extraño mi casa.
It's good, he says. It's really nice. But I miss my house. I miss my house. You can hear in his voice how much he means it. In San Francisco, I'm Hannah Kingsley-Ma for Cross Currents.
Hannah recently checked in with Ana Alas to see how things are going since moving into her new home over a month ago. 5-year-old Ariana still goes to school in the Mission, and Alas is still looking for work. At first, it was hard to settle in, she told us, but now it feels very much like home.